First time, long time, we got Smitty, we got Roan, we got Booze behind the booth, actually in an airport terminal. Why? Because that's how we get things done, apparently, and you gotta love it. We're getting right into it. Before we talked last time, Nick Sirianni wasn't even a head coach yet. He wasn't even announced. Nobody even knew who he was. I'm not even sure if they were looking at him yet publicly. And privately, they probably weren't even, because who knows what the hell Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are thinking other than themselves and survival. But right now, Nick Sirianni, head coach. And today, we had the pleasure of listening to the old ball coach for the first time, about an hour-long press conference, which started out, boys, with Jeffrey Lurie for the first 20 minutes, absolutely blowing his new head coach, figuratively and probably consensually, without one mention of the coach that brought him a Super Bowl, Doug Peterson. Jeffrey Lurie, 20 minutes, not one thank you, not any allusion to Douglas Peterson, which is interesting because Jeffrey Lurie seems like a pretty loyal guy, especially to people that did well to him. Trying to think, like, what could a Dougie possibly done to piss Jeffrey off that much? Did I even get a thank you in the introductory press conference of the next coach? But that's neither here nor there. What is here and there is Nick Sirianni went on for about 30 to 40 minutes talking a lot about nothing. Just a lot about nothing. He mentioned that he hasn't even thought about who will be the quarterback yet, which is interesting because, you know, his entire livelihood and future resides on that. He mentioned that Howie Roseman will be in charge of the 53-man roster, which automatically means that Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback, basically. If Howie's in charge of the roster, Howie's going to put his players there. So you got to assume that Carson Wentz will be the quarterback, which we all kind of knew. And other than that, my first impression of Nick Sirianni is he seems like a swell fella. He seems like a swell fella. He seems like he would make a very, very good high school, college. He might even make a good NFL head coach. But he's a puppet. He's a puppet being ball gagged by the powers that be, Jeffrey Lurie, and more specifically, Howie Roseman. And this press conference all but confirm that.
Smitty, you said he sounded like a high school coach. And if we remember, our guy Doug Peterson was a high school, maybe that's what they're looking for, a high school lineage, a nice, strong high school lineage. I didn't get to see the entire press conference, but I did see that one shining 1 minute clip that came out of it. And based off that clip alone, he could not have looked worse. Even Kate, who doesn't know a ton about football, but is very attuned into Philadelphia sports, or at least a little bit, turned around and said, I don't like him. Barstool Kate right away said, just off that one clip, I don't like him. It felt like Adam Gase's press conference where his eyes were all over the place. It felt like young Jim Tom Sula. There were just like, there was nothing good about his way that he presented himself. The good thing is it can only get better from here, but it seems like the Eagles are trying so hard to jam him down our throats as the right guy. Even their social media posts of him seeing his new office, it just reads so uncomfortable, so forced, and like his press conference, so awkward that, like, I don't know, it's not starting off in this way that I feel like he's this offensive genius. I want to believe in him. I don't have any reason not to believe in him. If you listen back when we talked about this the last 2 weeks, we wanted young guys who are offensive minded and like the next wave of guys. And so he basically delivered that. Howie gave us what we were both asking for as far as a coach. We wanted a young guy, but is he the right guy? Time will tell, but it's not the greatest start.
When it comes down to it, I was not going to be basically impressed by anything that he said or his appearance or how he came about today or him as a coach until he proves it on the field, because as long as Hallie and Jeffrey are calling the 100% of the shots, which is confirmed that they are, like, you're going to have to not talk about it and be about it. And he fucking loves to talk. The first half hour of his press conference sounded like a Canton induction speech. He was just thanking everybody in his life, which is nice and it's cute, but it seemed a little bit of like complacency, like, oh, I've made it. Oh, I'm happy to be here. Not, I want to get a Super Bowl. Let's look to the next step. It's, oh, my two older brothers are football coaches. I beat them out to this position before them. Thank you very much, everyone who helped me just make it, which is awesome and nice, but he's clearly just happy to be here.
Yeah, I think we both want to be positive about this, but, like, we're not finding a lot of stuff to be positive. So let me try and focus on things I do like about him. I do like that he was a receiver and that he has a massive receiver's background.
D3 receiver, baby.
A D3 receiver. And I don't know. I like the fact that he knows what to look for in a receiver, that he knows what he wants in a receiver, because that's obviously been a problem for us. And if he's scheming to get people open, if he has some kind of insider knowledge, it seems like we're going to draft a wide receiver at the top of the draft. I'm not sure who that is, and I'm sure we'll talk a ton about that.
He has no control over that. He has zero control over that.
No control whatsoever. All he has control
over is who plays on game day.
So what do you think, that they're going to draft a lineman now? You think that it's going to be offensive or defensive line? Because if it's Howie, that's what it seems like Howie wants to do.
They are going to draft whoever Howie Roseman wants to draft, whether that's a tight end, a long snapper, a wide receiver, or another fucking quarterback, because this is the factory, mind you.
If Justin Fields is there at 6, I can see them taking Justin Fields. And good God, if that fucking happens.
I could see Justin Fields. I could see I could see the dude from fucking Trey Lance from North Dakota State. I could see the guy from BYU. Any of them are on the table. Two of the offensive tackles, a D lineman we've never heard of. If Howie's in charge, I'm not as confident. I'm hoping that Sirianni has some kind of influence on this.
That's the point. He doesn't. And it's batshit. It's batshit. That's the point from the fucking jump, is the person who keeps on driving this franchise into the ditch is allowed an opportunity to get us out of the ditch. And it worked out one time gloriously, some way, somehow. But how many chances is Howie Roseman just going to get to rule over everything? And there's no Joe Douglas there. If there was a Joe Douglas there, yes. Is Dorsey still giving advice?
He's gone.
Okay, well, then that's it. That's it. We're fucked. I want Sirianni to succeed because he's a big time underdog guy. He, like, reminds me of a fucking neighbor that I can just shoot the shit with. But my neighbor ain't leading anybody to Super Bowls.
Yeah, he looks like a barbecue all-star for sure. Like, throw the pigskin around in the backyard a little bit, launch it 40 yards. Just like, wow, that hot husband has a pretty fucking strong arm on him. But at the same time, I don't know. If he doesn't have any kind of say in the front office, I'm trying to read tea leaves with the other guys that they've been hiring. So I don't know shit about this offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, that they hired away from, was it the Chargers? He was, I don't know.
What I've read about him the Chargers. That the Chargers fan base was relieved. That is the quote, relieved that he is no longer there. It seems like he is run heavy first, which is, I guess, good for Philly. But the consensus is Justin Herbert succeeded in spite of him and not because of him.
And if you run heavy, though, they did have Anthony Lynn, a former running back, as their coach. It might have been a product of who he was under. And I know that Sirianni knew Steichen from back in the day. They had coached together, I think, with the Colts. But I also am a little bit concerned with our obsession with hiring people that are very close to the head coach. Like, we could hire from the entire NFL, but instead we're on the buddy system, and it's just like, grab up your friends and we'll play with your friends. But someone who I am excited about is the quarterback's coach that they signed out of Florida, Brian Johnson, who was their offensive coordinator. I think Florida's offense did some interesting things. I think Kyle Trask wound up being a nice quarterback. I think that he is, like, a young upstart, someone who we could be excited about. He's known Jalen Hurts since he was 4 years old. So maybe that will add a little bit of intrigue or a reason for him to want to start Hurts. But Smitty, I want to ask you right now, based on this new offensive coaching staff and this new regime, who do you think on week one will be the Eagles starting quarterback?
It's Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback. And I will bet any amount of money on that. I would bet my mother's life, grave, soul on it, like my future kid. Like, that's how confident I am in Carson Wentz, if healthy, is the starting quarterback week one.
I think that it's still a little bit on the table that Carson Wentz gets traded. We're seeing this potential of quarterback.
Whoa. Yes, if he gets traded, that's a whole different story. I could still see that, but nobody's going to take him. If both quarterbacks are on the roster, Carson Wentz is starting.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. And, I've seen that the numbers show that he can get traded. There's a chance that Carson Wentz, since he has gotten paid already, the dead cap hit will fuck us. But it's like it is tradable. But I am worried about, as far as from Howie Roseman's standpoint, like he's going to have to dig us out of the whatever $70 million cap hole that we're in right now. And he's going to wind up extending guys. And he's going to wind up kicking money down the road for old guys, which has been our problem. And guys like Brandon Graham or Fletcher Cox, who I love them both to death, but we're going to keep on kicking the can down the road and banking on them continuing to get, like, it's an anomaly that Brandon Graham has continued to get better this late in his career, and betting on that to continue happening instead of maybe trading these guys or moving on from some of these guys is like, how long can that sustain?
And Zach Ertz is still under contract for 2 years. What if you can't trade him this offseason? Like, he's done in Philly. He's done. He hated last season. He wants out. What if you can't trade Ertz?
I mean, I saw that Sirianni mentioned Ertz first in the press conference. I saw someone tweet that the first Eagles player that Sirianni mentioned was Zach Ertz. And I don't know if he's trying to drive up value, but, I mean, I also saw a mock draft that had us taking Kyle Pitts, a tight end, in the first round. So it's like, which way are we going to go? What are we going to do here?
It's a mess. Good luck, Nick Sirianni. You're going to fucking need it. One thing Glenn Macnow did tweet, other than him going at Curt Schilling, and Curt Schilling's apparent Nazi memorabilia in his living room, which is a whole other story. Glenn Macnow tweeted that Andy Reid's press conference was very grisly, as he described it, and very, I think, elusive and evasive, and was the worst press conference introductory press conference he ever saw. And that worked out well. So, no Super Bowls, but it worked out well. So, good luck, Nick Sirianni. You're going to need it. Booze, hit up the voicemail.
Yeah, Smitty and Rome, this is Anthony from Springfield out in Delco, and I just am worried about the Eagles, man. I mean, after looking at everything that happened, it's really hard to say that I can still be a proud fan of them. And, like, not to really be dramatic, but, like, after 9/11, I was still a fan and proud to be an American. But, like, these Eagles, man, I don't even know what to say. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks, guys.
There you have it. Tony from Springfield comparing 9/11 to losing his love for the Eagles. Ron?
Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed too, but let's save our 9/11 analogies for when we really need them. I don't think we need to jump the gun and call things that dark. You know what I mean? This is a time for optimism. This is a time for hope. And I'm looking for hope. I'm trying to find some hope. Yeah, I didn't see a ton of it. I didn't see the leader of men out there, but I don't quite think that this is an American tragedy.
We'll get there. We'll get back. Switching gears now to the Sixers, who are an undefeated 10-0 when they're starting five start. They're in first place in the East. They whooped up, well, not whooped up. They gave up 13 straight points to almost lose to the Lakers. But then one by one with Tobias Harris, who is playing his dick to the bone, very all-star-like. And Joel Embiid, plus 550 MVP odds right now. Roan, what do you got on the Sixers?
I'm soaking up those odds. I want action on Embiid as MVP. I want action on Sixers to win the East. And Smitty, I want action on the Philadelphia 76ers to win the NBA championship this year. That's how fucking good I feel about this team. They look incredible. I was in Los Angeles for that game, and I got to listen to the broadcast on the radio, and hearing the Lakers announcers talk about the Sixers, they're scared of us, and they should be, because we're a fucking wagon. We're a fucking juggernaut. I love how the team looks. I love how they're playing. I love how fired up Embiid is. I love how Ben Simmons went at LeBron James. I love how our roster's constructed. I love how we spaced the floor. Have I said that I love this fucking team, Smitty?
And you got to love what Doc's doing. That play call at the end with Doc going like a triple option to Curry or Embiid, and then Tobias being the final option, and then just dropping his nuts on the ground against Caruso and making that shot. I mean, Doc Rivers, you can't say enough about the job that he's doing, because we all know, and nothing against Brett Brown, who is an amazing person and who groomed these kids, for lack of any other phrase I can use there, to be adults on and off the court. Sixers ain't winning that game last year or the year before or the year before that. They just aren't. And they almost blew it. Quite frankly, I thought they were going to blow it. You can't give up 13 points in a row to the Lakers and almost blow it, but they didn't. And who the fuck is going to guard Joel Embiid? Who in the NBA is going to be able to stop this man? Because if they are healthy and this starting five can carry this team through the playoffs, they might win it all. You are correct. They might win it all. Who's going to guard Embiid? Who?
Because in years past, especially the last few years, when Mark Gasol was in Toronto, he was a certified Embiid stopper, and he could shut down Embiid. And then we saw when they started Marc Gasol, I was like, okay, here we go. It's going to be Marc Gasol against Embiid. And Embiid was able to do whatever he wanted. They tried to put in Harrell on him. He dusted Harrell. And I don't think that Anthony Davis is strong enough to – I mean, Anthony Davis is incredible, one of the best players in the league. But he's not guarding Embiid. No one can guard Embiid flat out in the entire league. Ben Simmons threw up a triple-double. He was fucking aggressive. Like, I am – so pleased with this team, because towards the end of the game, anybody can have the ball in their hands and all feel comfortable. Seth Curry or Danny Green shooting from three, I feel comfortable. Ben Simmons driving is the least comfortable I feel, but even so, I feel comfortable with him.
Ben Simmons haters need to shut the fuck up, because I don't care if he's not shooting threes or having the mid-range game that everybody all expects. He's first team all NBA defense right now. He's first team all NBA defense. And he's putting up triple doubles. Like, he is efficient. This starting five has the character, the spacing, the heart, the nuts, the guts to really win it all. You're right. Yeah. Fuck it. Let's put some odds on it.
Fuck it.
Let's do it.
Let's ride. Why not? Why not us? Why not this year? Like, the Lakers are the team that is best constructed to beat us. The Nets, while they have put some stars together, they don't look like they're there yet. And who do the Nets have that's going to guard Embiid? I know that there's some people that want the Nets to bring in maybe JaVale McGee, or I don't know. Let's listen to this next voicemail, because they might be talking about someone else that the Nets want to bring in, or maybe we'll be bringing them in.
I just want to give you guys a warning. You will be triggered by these two voicemails, because they are not positive.
All right, here we go. Here we go, buddies. Here we go. Listen up. These fucking Sixers are not going to do shit unless we get another acquisition before it's too late. And by before I mean it's too late, I mean before this false sense of confidence, this false sense of being the best team in the league, being the best team in the East, comes and bites us in the ass, and then they start to plummet and lose every single road game, just like last year. What do? We go get Kevin Love. His name's Kevin Love. We're the city of brotherly love. We do whatever it fucking takes to go get our guy, Kevin Love.
You know, I love Kevin Love here, assuming you just don't give up anybody. Like, who are you going to give up to get him? Because you're not giving up Tobias right now. It would be great, and I agree with them, if you bring in Kevin Love, say you just give up like the next 5 years worth of draft picks or some shit. Bring in Kevin Love, start him at the four, put Tobias at three, and get Danny Green off the bench. Like, I don't hate that.
I'm not giving up any years of draft picks for fucking Kevin Love. Kevin Love has proven that he is not a game changer in Cleveland at all. He can be a good asset on a team that's already good, but I'm not giving up fucking – I'm not giving up Danny Green for Kevin Love.
Well, that's what I mean. I wouldn't – you wouldn't give up the next 3 second-round picks for Kevin Love.
Second round.
I'd throw a first-rounder in there too.
Fuck that. I'm not giving up. We gave up a first-rounder to get off of Al Horford's contract, and I didn't even feel that like great about that. Kevin Love is a nice piece, but I think that our team's chemistry is clicking right now. I think that our team's bench looks good right now. I think that we're growing. Dwight Howard off the bench is a fucking a masterstroke. He's fucking exactly what we need. Like, I think that Kevin Love – or some of these trades like J.J. Redick, Lonzo Ball, whatever, they could be interesting, but I'm not giving up that much for fucking any of them.
I'm not giving up anybody. I'm not giving up anybody for anything. But if Mr. Morey, who's been phenomenal, wants to throw a first for Kevin Love, I'm taking that. I'm just taking it because he's an asset that you can throw in here and immediately improve an already good team.
I don't even know if I would trade fucking Mike Scott for him, because we still need Mike Scott coming off the bench to whip ass if anybody's trying to fucking get smart with our star players. I would have liked to see
in street clothes, mind you. Well, that's the point. That's a thing. Like, we can keep Mike Scott around as a bouncer. We don't need to have him as a roster spot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I like Kevin Love as a player, but I also it could be an interesting chess move to try and acquire him so Brooklyn can't acquire him. Sure. But I'm also like, I should be more scared of Brooklyn, but I'm not that scared of Brooklyn because it seems like they are trying to force this, this team to be a super team when it doesn't want to be a super team. And their roster construction isn't as balanced as our roster construction. Like, we need everybody to be able to play a role. And I think we have pretty good roles for our players right now.
I'd be more fearful of Brooklyn if they still had Jared Allen, but they just gave him away basically for nothing. And they don't have him anymore. They have no real big presence. And hopefully that's what kills him in the end. But logically speaking, we'll probably see Brooklyn in the playoffs, and the big three will throw up 150 points in a game. It'll be 3-on-5.
Hey, this is Bill. I'm out of Drexel Hill, and I just wanted to say that these Sixers got to do something, you know. They got to do something. This has been a great start to the season, but I think it's instilling a false sense of confidence that this team is going to battle its way to the Eastern Conference Finals. No, we are not even in the top three best teams in the East. Now, what do we do? 2 weeks ago, if you told me I would have traded Tyrese Maxey for James Harden, one of the best players in the league, I would have said, fuck you, Tyrese Maxey is one of my favorite players on the Sixers currently. But now you want to trade Tyrese Maxey. I am so down. I say you give up Tyrese Maxey and a Michael Scott for one Kevin Love. Kevin Love comes to the city of brotherly love. He saves the Sixers. We need that kind of veteran leadership. It's not coming from Dwight anymore. Everybody realized Dwight's a fucking crazy psychopath on that team. They're not listening to him anymore. He has stone hands. He can't run the pick and roll. He can't do an alley-oop. He has stone hands. He can't make a free throw. He's standing at the three-point line when he shoots a free throw. He can't do shit. We need Kevin Love in there.
Okay, first of all, I make that trade, Maxey and Mike Scott. And I like Maxey, but I make that trade in the second. Second of all, I think I realize what these last two callers and a couple people are assuming this season. They're assuming that Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris this season are going to play and end up like every other season. They don't realize that Embiid's playing at MVP level. They don't realize that Tobias is putting up 20 and then 5 a game and playing at an all-star level. They don't realize Ben Simmons is first-team all-NBA defense and putting up triple-doubles left and right. Like, if they maintain this level of play, they're gonna be tough to beat.
No, I completely agree. I don't know what the fuck these last two callers are on or what games they're watching. Dwight Howard is the best, like, he's the best backup center Joel Embiid has had, not just from a talent perspective, but from a psyche perspective, because he's been the top guy as the center. He's won championships. He knows what Joel Embiid needs to fuel him mentally, physically, and spiritually to make him a top center in this league. Like, they have a beautiful relationship, and whenever Embiid is out, you have a competent center that can step in there. I don't understand the hate for Dwight Howard because he's missing free throws. Have we not watched Dwight Howard play since 2004? We know he's going to miss free throws. We didn't sign him to hit 80% from the line. We signed him because we need a competent backup center, and that's what he is. I don't understand these people that don't just take him for what he is and see the presence that he has in the locker room and the zen that the Sixers have right now. Embiid and Simmons have never had a better relationship with one another. I'm overjoyed with it. I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, and I'm not trying to trade everybody, especially Tyrese Maxey is going to be a fantastic player in the league.
Would you make that trade right now?
No. First of all, I don't think the Cavs make that trade. In the last two drafts, they drafted Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, and Isaac Okoro, who are three basically guards. So it's like you're not going to get another guard to play along with your other short guards. And we need young players to be in the pipeline to replenish. That's how you become a championship team for a long time, by having young, cheap labor that you can use to replenish when your guys get too expensive. Maxey is a valuable chip, and he might not be putting up 20 points every single game, but the fact that he shows those flashes of greatness, he's going to go through some growing pains. We know that. Let's not be foolhardy and get off the block, because let's look at who the two front runners for most improved player are: Christian Wood and Jeremy Grant, two former Sixers. If we just stay on these young guys, they will blossom. We have to trust this process.
Couldn't agree more. And also Dwight Howard, again, I'm not sure what games this car is watching. He doesn't shoot free throws. He shoots high school threes. Okay.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know what he literally takes a step back every single game from where he was shooting the game before.
It doesn't make sense. The Lakers announcers were saying that they think that it's because by the time that the ball gets to the net, that it'll be like softer because it's so far away. He has a better chance to roll. I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but
he's
whatever.
He's playing knockout from three. Start from the foul line. Go ahead, his next voicemail.
Hey guys, so as a proud father, I was showing my kids some old Phillies videos, and all of a sudden the Fanatic popped up on screen, and my youngest son just started bawling his eyes out, demanding I turn it off and stuff like that. So when I asked him, you know, what was wrong, like why was he crying, what was he so upset about, and he told me, the Fanatic kind of looks a lot like the COVID virus. So do you guys think that they should maybe think about, you know, putting the Fanatic away for a couple of seasons just as the vaccines go out and, you know, people can get immunized from it and stuff like that? Let me know. Thanks for taking my call.
You know what? Good. If your kid's crying over the Fanatic, he's got a lot of growing up to do. I'll tell you that right now.
I think that Gritty looks more like the COVID virus. Every time they show it, it's like a red-orange virus. I mean, neither one of them.
Gritty looks like every STD ever made.
Exactly. Gritty is not only patient zero, he is the disease. I mean, whatever that thing was on when it was birthed out of the most drug-filled, or underneath the most drug-filled Kensington Bridge, like, be scared of Gritty, not of the Fanatic. Fanatic's a gem.
Yeah, there were probably four homeless guys warming their hands around a barrel fire, and Gritty emerged from it like a mythical creature. And I love him for it. I think that we have two of the best mascots in all sports. All we need to do is bring back hip-hop, and we'll be good.
Hip-hop, most overrated mascot of all
overrated.
Time.
Overrated? Smitty! Whoa!
Oh, excuse me, Swoop.
Those are fighting words, Smitty. Those are fighting words.
Swoop sucks. Put that out there again. Swoop sucks. Damn. But yeah, ready out of the barrel fire when Frank Stallone is singing there. Rocky's passing by. Speaking of the Fanatic and the Phillies, JT Realmuto, officially a Philadelphia Philly. I believe what, Booze? It was 5 years, 115, something like that. Regardless, Phillies absolutely lucking in the market and got batshit lucky with signing JT Realmuto, and I couldn't love it more. Are they still about 400 arms in the bullpen away from being any sort of a competent team? Of course. But hey, sign me a shortstop. whether it's Didi or Simmons just signed, didn't he, Boost, from the Angels?
We just signed Matt Moore, a left-hander. So, I mean, they're trying to get you some.
They got Archie. They're still not going to be able to compete with the Braves or maybe even the Mets. But, hey, baseball in the summer's fun. And I lived way too many childhoods where the Phillies would be done by the All-Star break, where summer would
Listen, they're only a good shortstop away from a pretty decent lineup. And, I mean, if we could find a way to bring Didi Gregorius back, I mean, the Phillies are not going to be a terrible ball club this year if we can get some relief pitching in there.
I'm excited about the Phillies, but I just need to, I need to see this, I need to see some kind of run. I need to find a reason to believe in this, and maybe it'll be a top to bottom thing. Maybe there'll be a new fire under them, but backdooring into signing your star doesn't seem like a good way to have great morale in the clubhouse.
No, it's not, but you want to know what? He's here. Why not? I'll give you hope with this. Dom Dombrowski, the GM, right here, right now, led the Red Sox to a World Series. He rebuilt the Tigers franchise to get them back to the World Series. He won a World Series with the Florida Marlins. This guy knows how to win. He knows how to construct a roster. The problem is he does it by absolutely pillaging the farm system, which the Phillies don't have much of. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does it, but have full confidence that Dombrowski will turn this franchise into what it needs to be. And that's the only hope we have. The only hope.
No, you're right. It's if rank your Philly teams in as how confident you are about them right now. Mine is the Sixers, the Flyers, the Phillies, the Eagles.
See, I think I'm Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, Eagles. I think the Flyers were built to win last year.
Yeah, I'm on that train, Smitty. I couldn't agree more. Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, Eagles.
Nothing against Sixers, but the Flyers could very well.
Just like the Sixers, though, I do think that some pieces are needed for the Flyers. Right now, the defense is costing them and costing them dearly. Their defense is terrible. Justin Braun is awful. Erik Gustafsson, who we brought in over the offseason, hasn't been great, hasn't been what we expected of him. And what it's doing is it's leaving Carter Hart to stand on his head. He had 33 saves last night, but his defense is not helping him out. And Proby can't do it all. I mean, Shane Gostisbehere is too small. We got to get rid of him. It's just some things need to change on the defensive side. I'd like to see Sam Marin start playing more. He's a big dude. He's a big body. Why is he not in the lineup? There's got to be something there that tells you why he's not in the lineup, because we need a big body like that to shut down the blue line.
Remember when Shane Gostisbehere was the next coming of Jesus?
It was a long time
ago. We'll always have the emojis. We'll always have the ghost emoji.
Yeah, we'll always have that memory. The ghost
wrapping up the show. It's a quick one today. We're going to do something a little different. We did I remember that fucking guy last week. We're going to bring that back. But this week, stocks in the news. A lot of stonks out there. We're going to do a buy low, sell high Philly edition. We're each going to give someone who you are going to buy low in right now, who might have success in the future and pay dividends, and you're going to sell high on one player or person and organization. Booze, you lead it off. Who you got?
Okay. Hot stock right now. I'm telling you right now, and you could buy him at a very low price because his stock is soaring. He is NHL long-timer Nate Prosser. Started his first game with the Flyers last night and scored his 11th NHL goal and first with the Flyers. He's been a guy who's been on multiple teams, never made a big impact, but he came out last night, lit a fire under the team, and was a huge part in the reason why we swept the Devils, two games to none. And then buying low, or by low stock, I'm going to have to go, sorry, coach, Nick Sirianni. I mean, the guy did not show anything to me in his press conference from what I read that would give me any sort of confidence that he has any bearing on this team whatsoever, which is sad.
You want to sell Nick Sirianni then?
I'd like to sell Nick Sirianni.
Selling Nick Sirianni, not even high. You're selling him at Nick Sirianni before he even starts.
I'm shorting the shit out of that stock.
Okay. Roan, who are you buying low and selling high?
So this might seem fucking crazy, but who I want to buy low on, because his stock's never going to be lower, and I want to be in on the ground floor in case things do get turned around, on Carson Wentz. I think that Carson Wentz, the ship has not 100% sailed on Carson Wentz. And it had to be Doug or it had to be Carson. But as it's looking like Carson Wentz is going to come back in a new system, he can't get worse. So I would love to be on Carson Wentz, the rocket ship, if it ever takes off. And I might even just start beating the fucking drum for Carson Wentz the same way that Carl out in Chicago started beating the drum for fucking Mitch Trubisky. Because why not? It can't get any lower. Everyone has completely turned against Carson Wentz. I think that could be a stock that's going up in the good, in the right direction. My high stock right now, and I don't even know if I'm going to sell it, but the stock is pretty fucking high, is my boy Tobias Harris is looking like a fucking all-star. And after his game winner, after the way that he's playing under Doc Rivers and the early season that he's put together, I don't know if his stock has ever been higher in his career. He's fitting in perfectly as a third star on the Sixers. A lot of people were trying to say Shake Milton is the second best player on the Sixers, third best player. No, Tobias Harris is right there in the pecking order, and I love where he's at right now.
Yeah, I love those two picks. Financially speaking, Carson Wentz, I mean, it's brilliant because you aren't going to get him at a lower price, and his ceiling, it could be the next Apple stock. You don't know.
You don't. You really don't. Everybody, like a lot of quarterbacks have down years. Like Big Ben, Peyton Manning had weird down years, like four or so years into their career. I'm not saying he is them, but why not buy in?
Buy low mine, and I hate doing this because I feel like I bought high with him before, and I'm basically just keep on buying stock. Mine's Vince Velasquez. He's back for another year. He still has that stuff. I want to see that fastball cook even somewhere. I want a Cy Young year some way, somehow, to Vinny Velasquez. And I hate doing it. I'm going down with the ship. I'm going down with the ship. I'm keep on buying stock. It's going to be back one day. It's going to be back to that 16-strikeout, one-hitter game where we know that he could possibly bring it again. And
get him on the juice. I want Velasquez to get on the fucking juice. Who cares? Get on the juice. Win some games. Take your suspension.
Probably already was, but get on more juice.
More juice.
Get on all the juice. In my sell high, people are going to not like me for this. You're not going to like me, but I'm going to sell Gritty.
Woo!
I'm going to sell Gritty. Not for the reasons that you think, though. I just think I love Gritty. I adore Gritty.
You were just shitting on mascots all over the place today, dude.
Well, I love Gritty. I adore Gritty. I think he's great for the city. I think he's great for the Flyers. But once the pandemic is over and Gritty gets back in the mix with actual people, I'm scared for Gritty. I think Gritty could get possibly canceled some way, somehow. He allegedly punched a kid last year. He had to get out of that. He's into cake throwing now. Hardcore. He almost paralyzed some people, Steve Aoki style, with some cakes. I'm afraid Gritty might kill someone and get canceled once the pandemic's over. And that's the sole reason why I'm selling high on Gritty.
Goddamn. Well, I know Booze has to get out of here, so we're not going to hold up the people for too long. But a quick hit, always good to get in with you boys, chop it up, and get some of these emotions, these raw emotions off of our chest. Nick Sirianni, our new fearless leader. I fucking want to believe in him. I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to be optimistic about this. Let's fucking go get another one. Maybe he's a genius. Maybe he's a fucking Mensa candidate. Maybe he's got a 200 IQ. Who knows?
Yeah, he doesn't. But good luck. You seem like a swell fella. Booze, Roan, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll hang up and listen, baby.